Leading off with the big story of the day, here's The Drive with Zach Bye and Denver, Colorado's own Philip Lindsay.
Who win it now?
Hey, quick question for the RamosLaw.com text line, and I want to get into this NFL draft because Phil, we're 15 days away.
It's coming.
15 days away.
Destiny is arriving. We need it here.
In what form? In what form is destiny arriving? Is it a quarterback with the 12th pick? Is it an edge rusher? Is it something we don't see coming? What is this fan base going to do if they draft a corner?
What if they draft a kicker?
I mean, Bill Belichick used to do, I mean, obviously not this early, but later rounds he would.
Oh, yeah. You have to be mad. I would be mad if a kicker got drafted in like the fourth round, which some have.
Oh, and you're like, definitely.
Come on, man, a kicker?
Wasn't Younghoe Koo?
I'm pretty sure there's a couple that have been drafted pretty high.
I mean, Younghoe Koo, let me see here. Oh, no, he was undrafted. He was KJ, you're lucky I didn't just share what you said.
I know, dude, but I could have sworn, though. let's take a look back at who it was, because I knew somebody that was drafted in that round.
There has been kickers taken, like, I don't know if that high. They've been taken high, but not the round that KJ just whispered in my ear.
First round.
hey, real quick question for the RamosLaw.com text line. How much do Rockies season tickets cost if you wanted to sit in the lower bowl? Mm. I'm just curious. And I can reach out to the team here after the show because there's numbers to call and it's still early enough where it'd be pretty good representation of what it would cost for the season. But I'm curious if some of our listeners know, because I do want to know, like, what do they charge? Because that's who I think was at the game last night. If you looked at that game, there was not 18,000 people there, and that's what they announced. And the reason that we were talking about that and why it's significant is because that is the second smallest announced attendance for a non-pandemic Rockies home game in the last 10 years, and it's the fourth home game of the year. So it's got my wheels turning, but if you looked at the game, and I did for like a half second, there wasn't 18,000 people there. There was about 10,000 people. And I think the 10,000 people who are there are season ticket holders, who are just like, they pay for tickets. That's what they do.
Fans.
Yeah. Yep. And so I'm just curious if some of our listeners have a decent frame of reference.
Oh, no. We're not moving off this kicker thing here. Some research has been done here, all right? So we've got at least seven that have been drafted in the first round, two in the second round.
Wait a second. Hold on.
Let's come
seven
on now.
Seven drafted right. in the first round?
Yep. Challenge flag. Were any of those kickers drafted before 1980? Or excuse me, after 1980.
Yes.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Wait, kicker's drafted in the first round.
As a matter of fact, he played for the Raiders. Trivia question.
Oh.
Who was it?
Sebastian Janikowski.
Sebastian Janikowski. Yes. He was drafted in the first round.
Man, when he first when he ended.
Sebastian Janikowski was drafted in the first round.
Yep, 17th overall.
Sebastian started with a physique and ended with a bear belly, man.
He did. That thing used to wiggle.
And then, it did.
Jake Moody, last year for the 49ers, third round.
Okay.
And then 2016, Robert Aguayo, Buccaneers, second round.
I remember him. And he was the most accurate kicker in the history of college football, and then he couldn't kick. He got to the NFL. He was the most accurate ever. And there was a receiver like that out of Eastern Carolina, least drops ever, best catch rate, got to the NFL.
Now, what kicker was that? What kicker was that?
The kicker was Roberto Aguayo, right? Tampa Correct. Bay Buccaneers.
Okay.
Do you have where he played in college?
It was Florida State, wasn't it?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right.
Shout out kickers.
Damn, I didn't realize that. Even in the modern era, it just escaped me there in the moment. All right. NFL draft is 15 days away. If we were drafting the current Broncos roster, who would be the top five picks?
That's a good question, man. Because we have a lot of holes to fill on the offensive side, the defensive side. You know, we shared up the special teams with bringing back Lutz.
But if you were drafting from this roster, Pat Surtain's the first overall pick.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Who would be the second pick?
Hmm.
And we can tag the RamosLaw.com text line into this as well. If you were drafting,
yeah, I got the
five best Broncos from this current roster. Pat Surtain's number one. We agree? Hold on. Let me think about it for a second. See if we're synced up here. I'm thinking someone on the offensive line.
Yep.
It can't be our right guard, is it?
No.
It's Bolesy?
It's Bolesy.
You know, my zone is GB zone.
Mm.
GB zone. He's been here long enough. It's hard to find a left tackle.
Yeah.
Because that's one of the hardest positions to be is a left tackle because a lot of quarterbacks are right-handed.
Sure.
Number two in the draft is going to have to be old Garrett Bowles.
It's really not crazy.
What about number three?
Hold on a second. Just on Bowles for a second.
Yeah.
Contract is running out.
Yeah.
Left tackles are hard to find. Broncos have a choice to make here in 15 days on that position. Do you move forward with Garrett Bowles? And if the answer is yes, they need to restructure him and re-up him during the season, I would imagine.
Yeah, and we don't have the picks.
No.
We don't have the picks to go and get some extra depth and say, hey, we're gonna draft a tackle later on in the rounds. They could, which would indicate that, hey, they're not willing to give Garrett Bowles that extension. I think something gets done.
You think something gets done?
Yeah, I think something gets done. I think, like you said, it's hard to find those left tackles. Garrett is the longest Denver Bronco.
He is.
Still on the team.
Yes, 2017.
Yeah. So I think they'll do him right. He'll be here. Now, is it going to be a crazy contract? No. It may be a couple more years. I don't know how that money looks.
This is his age 32 season that he's entering right now. He is due to make $16 million this season, all right? He is an unrestricted free agent next season. You want to know a draft day curveball is if they don't want to re-up him, and this is supposed to be one of the best offensive tackle classes in years.
It is.
They're talking maybe five, six of these guys going in the first round. That would be a curveball, and I think that would be a pick that would have Broncos country in a bit of a short-term frenzy.
Hold up. So you're saying that we, number 12 overall, we pick a left tackle.
Yeah, so because if it's like, okay, we love a quarterback but up top, but we're not going to make that investment to go all the way up.
Yeah.
Too big of a risk. But what this is doing for us, it's pushing down the best football players, and we are truly, and this is, I'm Sean Payton.
Yeah.
Saying, man, this kid is a generational tackle, and we're going to take this offensive tackle. And I think that, especially in the short term, that would drive this fan base crazy.
Well, yeah. Yeah, it's going to drive us all crazy. All right, because you still have Garrett Bowles sitting right in front of you. You know what he can do. All right? You don't necessarily have to give him the contract right now.
True.
Right? You could wait a little bit to see what he does.
You could.
Be patient. And we know Sean likes to be patient. So I don't see that happening. I mean, we all know that's probably not going to happen. But if it does, everybody's going to be pissed.
They will. There'll be videos. You know the videos of people watching the draft?
Like
freaking out?
TV.
Yes.
Father.
Yeah. And you know a lot of those people, like, they know they're being filmed. And it's like, okay. Time for a new TV. Watch this. Yeah. Just looking for a reason to freak out. But that would drive this fan base crazy. My guess is they'll move forward with Garrett and re-up him.
Yeah, I think that's the safest thing to do.
Yeah. He'll be 33 under a new contract in 2025, but those guys are playing longer and longer. And Bowles has been good.
He has. We have not heard a lot of boos coming from Bowles, right?
No.
You know, and that's great thing for him, man. He's turned things around significantly.
Yeah, so I think that's fair. And if you're just joining us, I'm just curious. The draft is 15 days away. If we are drafting the current Broncos roster, who would be the top five picks? Pat Surtain is number one. We agree on that. You like Garrett Bowles, number two?
Yep.
I'm perfectly okay with that.
Okay.
It's left tackle, former All-Pro. I know it wasn't his most recent year, but he is serviceable enough at that position, at that premium position, I think, to go number two overall. Who would go number three?
I'm going to have to stay back on the offensive line. Quinn Miners.
Wow. Quinn Miners.
You got to beef it up. You're nothing without the offensive defensive line. In this case, Quinn's going to get paid a really, really big time contract here coming soon.
Yes.
So it's only best that we put them at number three.
See, this is why I wanted to do this exercise, because it brings up other irrelevant branches coming off of the same question. So if you want to move forward with Garrett Bowles, he's not going to work for free.
Mm-mm.
He's not going to take some sort of, I mean, and maybe he would take maybe less to do a deal during the season than hitting free agency. But, like, it's going to be a lot of money. It's going to be, like, $100 million contract. What was his last contract? I think it was, like, $68 million. So say it's another $50, $60 million. And you're looking at how you're going to build this roster. You already have McGlinchey signed up.
You do.
For big money.
You do.
If you're also talking about paying Bowles, but also Quinn Meinerz is up, it's like... You can't pay everyone.
Everybody, yeah.
And this is why I'm like, if this is the best offensive tackle class in years, and you're looking at your salary cap and constructing this football team, it's not out of the question if you believe one of these guys is the real deal for the next 14 to 16 years, and that guy will be on a rookie deal for the next four and under team control for the next five. It's not.
So what do you think that they do? Do you think if that's the case, right? They don't have enough money to pay everybody. You know, Quinn's going to get his money.
From the Broncos?
If the Broncos are smart, you don't want to get rid of all your offensive linemen. They're the heartbeat of the team.
I understand.
Right? So, can you trade Bowles, get some draft capital, move back up, maybe in the second round, because it's so left tackle heavy, be able to get a stud in that second round by using someone like Garrett Bowles? Because... Garrett Bowles are like, nobody's going to take a Garrett Bowles for a second round. Well, it's hard to find a left tackle.
It is.
It truly is.
It is. But he's only under contract for one more year, so that goes into it.
It does.
And you'd have to want to extend him, and maybe someone would. I mean, we're sitting here talking about the Broncos doing it. Maybe someone else would. But I wonder if the class coming out of college impacts his sort of market if they wanted to go that direction. But I think it's relevant because here's why. You already paid McGlinchey big money. You already paid Bowles big money. You paid your left guard big money, and you're going to have to pay your right guard big money.
So you think they're going to let Quinn Meinerz walk, huh?
I think you might have to make a decision between Quinn Meinerz and Bowles, because if you pay them all, you are quite literally looking at the most expensive offensive line in NFL history.
Yeah.
It's already the most expensive offensive line in Broncos history.
The Broncos cannot do anything in history no more. All right? We can't. We just can't. Nothing, no money in NFL history that needs to be coming from the Denver Broncos.
But do you see why this is like, this is a relevant conversation?
Yeah.
Like, dude, Ben Powers has signed up for like 3 for $30. McGlinchey got like $90 million.
Okay, if you're Sean, I'm putting you on the spot. What are you doing? You got Quinn, Meinerz, that he's young, he's good, and at one point everybody used to poop on the guards, but you really do need them.
Yeah, of course.
In today's game,
of course.
But you really do need a left tackle because you need somebody that's going to protect the quarterback.
Right. And Bowles is like, I look at Quinn Meinerz as like a 10 out of 10 at right guard, and Bowles as like a, let's say, 7 out of 10, 8 out of 10. What's more valuable? A left tackle that's a 7.5 out of 10 or a right guard who's a 10 out of 10?
Well, it all depends. See, this is where this comes into play. Who's that quarterback? What hand is he?
Oh, doctor. Michael McGlinchey the blind side?
Is he the blind side?
Tackle if it's Michael Penix Jr.
Yes.
And does Bowles' value decrease just a tick?
Just because
if your quarterback's left-handed.
Yeah, because he's not protecting that backside. And I don't know
who
else is left-handed. I just know Michael Penix Jr. is.
I think he's the only one. I think he's the only one of the first-round picks.
See,
yeah.
That can play a big part in it, too, because now it's like,
that's
look,
a fun Bowles, wrinkle.
You know, look, you're a good left tackle, but Michael Penix Jr. is left-handed. We need McGlinchey protecting his backside.
Yeah, and McGlinchey's going to be here because he had the trigger that Russ had. So it's now kicked in for not just this year, but next year as well.
Yeah.
So it's like, again, you just had to make a hard decision with your center. Lloyd Cushenberry had a good year.
Mm-hmm.
He's no longer a Bronco. So it's a balancing act of how to construct a football team. And I could argue very fairly, I believe, if you were going to invest in one room with an absurdly heavy hand, I would have it be the offensive line room. You know, for
I like it.
For guys who played your position, for the next quarterback of this team, and to be able to set them up for success. But to think that you're just going to pay everyone there could be some hard decisions that have to be made. And I wonder if that is an under-the-radar conversation that's happening at Dove Valley, because they're looking, they're not just looking ahead to week one. It's like, this is the last year of Bowles' contract,
yeah,
and Miners is due. So, but I like it. Back to the exercise. You had Quinn Miners as the third overall pick, and it just kind of started this conversation. But this is why I wanted to do this. And if you're just joining us, the NFL draft is 15 days away. And if we are drafting the current Broncos roster, who would be the top five picks? We agree Pat Surtain is number one. I was perfectly okay with co-signing your pick at Bowles number two. When it comes to the third pick, you want Quinn Miners. God, it comes to me. It's got nothing to do with Quinn, the player.
Yeah.
It's Quinn's position and positional value. For me, I'm speaking just
for
me.
But this year, let me just put this in these words. For this year, Zach, and I've never seen the offensive line on the guard side get paid so much money.
It's absurd. They're
getting paid $100 million contracts right now.
Dude, Quinn Miners could get $20 million
yes,
a year.
Yes. So, like, you have to take that in consideration now. Like, okay, like, obviously something's being done where they're being talked about that you're needing these guards more. And I don't know what the case is, whether it's because of the running styles or they're just better pass blockers and the schemes rely on centers and guards to do a better job of blocking. It's just interesting to see how that position has just skyrocketed up when it comes to the money, man.
It's insane. It's insane. All right, I'm putting you on the spot.
Okay.
And I want to put our listeners on the spot. RamosLaw.com text line 303-713-1043. You could pay one of the two.
Between?
Bowles and Miners.
You know me. What I just said has to go into effect with, I think we're going to take Michael Penix Jr. He's left-handed. Okay, McGlinchey is here to stay. He's going to be protecting Michael Penix Jr. That means that the value of Bowles' position as a left tackle goes down because he's not protecting the backside. You go in there, you find a way to get rid of Bowles or trade to get more draft capital, go get another left tackle in the draft since it's so left tackle heavy, you can find one, all right? And you pay my man Quinn Miners because he's younger. He's younger. And you're probably going to get a cheaper deal with him than
Bowles?
Yeah.
I don't know about that last part.
Yeah.
Because he has crushed it to a degree where Pro Football Focus says he's the best guard in the sport.
For sure. But all it takes is for everybody to go up there and talk again, and now you're looking like the safeties.
Yeah, well,
Like, first it was the running back position.
Yeah.
Then it's the safety position. All they have to do is say, hey, look, y'all, we're paying the guards way too much. We need a boycott up here. I'm telling you. They're like, yo, it's a trickle-down effect. If you pay this man this much money,
and we're going to have to pay ours.
Let's not do this.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to have a Deshaun Watson situation in our hands, y'all.
Yeah. Oh, man. If you had to choose, would you pay Bowles or Miners? I'm sorry. I'm not giving the guard a $100 million contract. I'm not giving a guard a $100 million contract.
Why,
I'm sorry.
What's your problem with the guard?
I'm sorry. Mark. I'm not doing it. I'm not paying the guard a $100 million contract. I don't care who's playing quarterback or what handed they are. I'll pay Bowles another $50 million to play left tackle than to
at
pay 30, the
run. At 33 years old, huh?
Yes. Yep. And I just positional value, who Bowles has been in addition to that. And Quinn Miners, love him. What a fun story. What Wisconsin Whitewater, loved having you here. Not giving you $100 million.
So my man had to come from the gutters.
Yep, Division III.
Division III? Yep. And you're not going to pay my man?
Yep. I'm not doing it. You can use it as motivation. I'm not paying the right guard.
He's already used that as motivation. My man's going to get paid regardless.
Yep.
Now, when you have another guard sitting right there and people are just running up the middle on you, you're going to be mad.
Yeah. What's your favorite Quinn Miners play this past year?
Every time he's run blocks. Every time he run blocks.
What's the RamosLaw.com text line saying, Drew?
All right, Zach, everybody here is against you on who you would pay, because we got one vote so far for Garrett Bowles and then probably 15 to 20 already for Quinn Miners, that they would pay him.
And that's cool. And that's cool because we can agree to disagree, because this is actually a healthy Broncos conversation, because these are actually two good players. The left
it's
tackle.
It's not healthy what you're thinking.
It's going to get unhealthy here. The left tackle is going to cost you about $50 million. The right guard is going to cost you around $100 million. Just so we're on the same page. Give me Garrett Bowles on the left tackle. I don't care if there's 100 people against me on this.
All right, well, here, this one actually could play to kind of Phil's concept here from the 5-4. He says, cut Garrett Bowles, save $16 million, move Mike McGlinchey back to left tackle like he played at Notre Dame.
Mm.
And you could solve that problem with having Michael Penix Jr. as quarterback.
And then we can bring back Dalton Risner because he played right tackle at Kansas State. Boom,
yeah,
problem
Dalton,
solved.
Dalton's not here.
You're going to cost about $6 million a year. Boom.
Bring him back.
Oh, God.
He has risen.
He has risen. Risner has risen. All right, so if we're drafting the top five Broncos from this roster, I'll just go with you. Quinn Miners, number three.
Oh, now you want to go with it?
That's because I don't want to fight about
it. Yeah, Mama's Law text line. No, we don't want you. Just like we don't want you on the Michael Penix Jr. train either.
Well, Phil, you picked Bowles number two. You picked Bowles number two.
That's because I was not thinking about who our quarterback's going to be.
Okay.
I'm still thinking we have Peyton Manning.
Okay.
It's
a long time ago. Peyton Manning's been retired. He's in the Hall of Fame. All right. So we got PS2, number one overall draft pick, Bowles number two, Quinn Miners number three.
Hey, when we were at El Patio, some guy was congratulate me for playing with Peyton.
I did hear that. Yeah,
I had to take it and run with it.
Yeah, you just take it.
You have to.
He's like, dude, you were great in that Super Bowl 50 team. It's like,
yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I did my thing.
You know, me and Peyton, I was his best man at his wedding.
Oh Lord. Who's the fourth overall pick from the Broncos roster? Pat Surtain number one, Bowles number two, Quinn Miners number three. Who would be the fourth overall pick?
We gotta go, man. You want to go on the defensive side, and you want to pick linemen because you need them.
But they have to be good, too.
They do have to be good. We're going off of talent right now, huh? It's going to have to be probably Courtland Sutton.
Wow. Courtland Sutton,
he's
fourth.
He's been steady for us. He was drafted in the second round, but here he's drafted in the fourth.
God almighty.
This is where we're at.
Sutton. I love Sutton. The 10 touchdowns were awesome. Is he the fourth best football player the Broncos have?
Oh, yeah. We got rid of your boy, Jerry. We know you would have put him number two.
God almighty, yeah. God, I can't co-sign that one.
If I'm
building a team and I'm drafting from the Broncos.
Let me guess who you're going to say.
This is where I think our roads diverge.
Is it on the defensive side?
I want it to be, but I'm looking at the names. I'm like, can you really be the fourth overall pick from this team? But who else would it be? You're not crazy. It just doesn't sit well with me.
I don't see nobody on the defensive side of the ball, truly.
I mean, Baron Browning. Huh?
He just has like
incomplete body of work.
Yeah, inconsistent.
You
better pick Bonito because he might go at you on your Twitter.
Yeah, he's a tweeter.
He's a tweeter.
You know what? I think I have to co-sign Sutton.
Or you could just trade your pick away. Trade down. trade back.
and then finally, just to finish the exercise, who would be the fifth pick? You're drafting the top five Broncos. Pat Surtain, Garrett Bowles, Quinn Miners, Courtland Sutton. Tells you a lot about the Broncos roster, doesn't it?
Yeah. We're going Mr. Irrelevant now because that's where we're at, the fifth pick, the last pick of the 2024 Phillip and Zach by draft, and I'm selecting Jaleel McLaughlin.
Oh God, there's your
Jaleel.
Soft spot. He's down the
Zach. He's the other one that if they would have let him run more, he brought more of a spark to anybody else.
So
man.
We can't take him fifth overall.
Who else?
He's on the USS Phil, the undrafted soft spot.
Who else is better than him? You're right. There actually is one.
I'll take Mike McGlinchey.
No man, yeah. We're missing one. We're being disrespectful. The safety. McMillan.
What? As a fifth pick?
McMillan?
No, he's corner.
He's a safe, like a...
No.
Nickelback. He could play corner, nickelback. He had a great year, man.
Jaquan McMillan?
Yes.
P.J. Locke played well.
Yeah, but Jaquan McMillan, he's going to get paid a lot, man.
Jaquan McMillan's going to get paid a lot?
He's going to get paid a lot.
Oh, my. What's a lot?
I don't know what... For a nickel, I don't know what it is, but I'm telling you guys.
All right.
If he puts together another year like he did this year...
All right, no, I don't.
You just hate on my undrafted players.
No. I just think it's illuminating. This is where we're at. We're picking the fifth overall, the best Bronco.
Where's Blake at? Where's Blake at to tell everybody he's
Blake
a hater?
Behind the scenes, haters gonna hate. All right, let us know who your top five Broncos are if you were drafting from this roster. Illuminating conversation. Okay, March Madness is officially in the books, but get ready because this time next year, the madness will reach a mile high. Details next. God, we got to talk about WrestleMania at some point.
We have to, man.
We did it yesterday. Dude, the amount of attention that this got, by the way, I just got the numbers. It's like, dude, up 40% year over year. Up 40% year over year.
I just remember, like, what? How was your reaction when the Undertaker song came on?
I can't say. I can't say publicly. I can't say publicly.
The Rock was over there cussing somebody out.
No! But it was Cena, it was Taker.
It was.
Who else came running out there? It was...
The Rock.
The Rock was out there. Then you had some of the Uso boys. No, Stone Cold didn't come out, but it was like Cena, Taker. Dude, when that bell hit, it's like, oh my God, the dead man.
He's coming
the
back!
Dead man! All right, what the hell are we supposed to do in here? UConn, they won the national championship. Congratulations. One of the most dominant runs that we've ever seen, quite literally. But how about this? This time next year, Denver's a host site. Denver is a host site once again. They were just here last year. They didn't come here for 7 years leading up to last year, and now they're coming twice in a three-year period.
You can't beat Denver. You can't beat it. You know, people love their basketball just like they would love their baseball. And why not have it here? I know you're going to be there. I'm going to try to get there.
Oh, I will be there. I was there last. It was so fun.
Yeah.
Here's a fun fact for you. Since the last time a West Coast team won the NCAA tournament, UConn has won 6 national championships. How hard is that to believe?
Very hard.
There's no team from the West Coast that's won a championship since the mid to late 1990s. And I find that fascinating. UConn ended up winning its tournament games by 23 points a game, the most all time. They were 0.2 points away last year from having the 2 most dominant runs ever by point per game win margins. 0.2 away. I mean, this was a run like we've literally never seen, man.
It's crazy, man. It's crazy how dominant they have been, and they were. And of course, they topped it off last night, won it. I think they're so dominant that you just don't care to watch. Like, you just kind of think that they're just going to win.
Well, for a lot of people, it was like that. But we did get the numbers. 14 million people watched the national championship, which is a lot of people. But it was millions less than the women's side. Millions by over 4 million, which is significant. Here's Coach Hurley on what made UConn's 2-year run so special.
To lose that much and again to do what we did again, it's got to be as impressive a 2-year run as a program's had since prior to whoever did it before Duke. To me, it is more impressive than what Florida and Duke did. Because they brought back their entire teams, and we lost some major players.
This is unequivocal for me. It's the most impressive 2-year run ever. Phil,
hands down.
They didn't just lose an NBA player. They just didn't lose 2 NBA players. They lost 3 of them year over year, and went back and somehow were even more dominant. It's incredible. So congratulations to that program. And I'll tell you this: after the game, Hurley said, for the last 30 years, UConn has been running college basketball. He's right. You go back and look, men's and women's, in the last 30 years, they've won 17
He's not lying.
National championships between the men's and women's. That is insane.
1, 2.
All right, Caitlin Clark. We know her last 3 college games broke the record again, broke the record again. It went from 12 million to 14 million to 18 million. But how about this, Phil? We asked the question, could this have legs in the WNBA? Does she have staying power? How about this? The Las Vegas Aces, all right? It's a WNBA team. They are moving their matchup versus the Indiana Fever for this upcoming season. They're moving it to the T-Mobile Arena. Why? Because it fits 8,000 more seats. The Las Vegas Aces are anticipating the Indiana Fever, who have the number one pick, picking Caitlin Clark.
Yeah.
And are literally in advance moving their game to a huge arena to accommodate the crowd. How cool is that?
That's cool. I wonder how Caitlin Clark feels.
Probably like a boss.
Like, everybody's coming to see me.
Like, she's not even drafted yet.
No.
And this is just an anticipation of her coming through town. I mean, that is like, That's next level.
That is.
That's next level.
That's megastar stuff.
No question about it. We'll see how it actually ages.
One, two, three.
Your CU Buffs.
Uh-oh.
Spring game.
It's coming.
Lil Wayne's going to be up there.
Wheezy.
Wheezy F baby.
Wheezy F baby.
Please say the baby. The F is for forensic. Spring game.
Yeah.
Did you see the number of tickets sold?
It was down a little bit, wasn't it? When I was looking at it, it was like, okay.
Down a lot of it compared to last year.
Well, yeah.
18,000 seats sold. Last year was sold out.
That's
still a lot, man. It is.
Compared to when I was in there, it was like 500 people.
Yeah, and you could go for free.
Yeah.
Now you got to actually buy a ticket. And 18,000 people for a spring game is impressive. How many does Folsom fit? Isn't it like 40?
I think it's like 48, 49 now with the renovations, right around 50.
Last year was completely sold out. Do you think by the time that the game happens, how many tickets do you think they'll sell? It's at 18,000 right now. The game's not until the 27th, so you got, you know, three more weeks.
Okay, three more weeks.
How many tickets do you think get sold?
They'll probably get to like 22,000.
That's it?
Yeah, 22,000. It's not on ESPN this year, okay? I think that people wanted to see what was going on the first year.
Yeah.
And now everybody's like, okay, you have to win games. If they would have won a lot of games, they probably would have had 50,000.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
They would have 50,000 a game. But because of that, I think they're going to see about 22,000.
22?
Well, 3 weeks left.
What do you guys think? There's 18,000 seats sold right now. What will it finish at by the time that the game is played?
I'm going to go probably about 28 because I think it's kind of a wait-and-see type attitude with this team this year. And I also think people that went there last year, I mean, spring games are kind of silly the way they do them. It's not like a real scrimmage or anything like that.
No.
So I think the entertainment value is not there now. If Lil Wayne was playing at Folsom that day, he's playing at the event center.
Correct.
He's playing down the street.
Yeah, right.
He's playing at Folsom. It'd probably be closer to sold out, if not sold out. So I'm going to go like 27, 28,000 probably.
Kamaze, what do you think?
I'm going right in the middle at 25. I just think this is going to be one of those unique spring games where I think people can focus more on tailgating. You don't have to be at the game. You can just focus on tailgating. We'll see you in September.
I think I'm with Drew. From all your guesses, I think I'm with Drew. I think it's closer to 28. We'll see what happens. Like I said, if Lil Wayne was performing at halftime, Deion should read a couple chapters at halftime of his book. No, seriously, you want to move it out? You want to sell it out? 21 ways, elevate and dominate. 21 ways,
man,
to win on and off the field.
They're just going to have you go down to the field and start reading for throwing Coach Prime.
Oh, gosh. All right. Hey, national outlet. Speaking of Coach Prime, they rank the coaches in the Big 12 this coming year. Where did they put Deion? You'll hear it next.
You got to know when to hold them. Know when to fold them. Know when to walk away. And know when to run. You never count your money. When you're sitting at the table.
I'll be listening to some country this summer. If he ever makes it into town, gets out of the old Kit Kat. You see Morgan Wallen?
Yeah.
He threw a chair off a roof in Nashville.
What's going on with him, man?
Dude, you can't do that.
Second time, I think, having some issues with the police.
Yeah. But, you could kill someone.
I know.
You know who did that is Antonio Brown. Remember, he was on a rooftop. This is 3 or 4 years ago. Threw a chair, just like Morgan did, off the roof, and it almost landed on a grandpa and his grandson. Like, you think about that? Like, you're just at the pool.
I didn't know that.
At the hotel, and a chair comes feet from killing you.
Yeah.
Like, come on, dude. Like, get yourself under control. Like, you're out of control. Like, and apparently the chair that fell from the Nashville rooftop.
Hit somebody?
No, thank goodness it didn't. But it almost fell on the head of a couple cops, actually. That's what I read in the story. Yeah. So it's like, dude, come on. Settle down a little bit.
You know he's a really good basketball player. I seen Morgan Wallen.
Is that right?
Yo, I've seen some video of him hooping at like a 24-hour fitness, killing him.
Is that right?
Yes. We'll have to look it up after when we go on our break.
Yeah. Definitely. I want to see that. I have not seen that.
Yes. He's hooping.
I have tickets for this summer. You know, did the whole pre-sale stuff. It gave it to my wife for Christmas.
This was a Christmas gift. And you
better make it.
He's
not going to
be there.
He locked up. They won't let him out.
Get your damn act together.
And then the other one—that's a KYGO birthday bash at. Dude, you should consider.
I need to look it up.
Taking Morgan. Well, I don't know what the timetable with everything you guys got going at home, but the KYGO birthday bash at Fiddler's Green with Jordan Davis, and I mean that is going to be a hoot of a time. So, and we'll be there too. So. Anyway.
Party animals, look at you guys. Party animals.
The kids are getting older now a little bit. You know, there was a couple of years there where we didn't do much of anything, you know, and didn't feel comfortable doing stuff. We'd go out for 90 minutes and be like, my wife's like, we got to get home. You know, it's like, all right, let's go. All right. National outlet ranked the coaches in the Big 12 this coming year. Where do they put Deion? Do you know how many teams are in the Big 12?
The Big 12. It used to be easy because you would have the 12.
Right.
I'm going to say there's 14.
There are 16 teams in the Big 12.
16 teams.
That is a big conference.
How about we just call it the Big 16 then?
Shoot.
Sweet 16.
Go for it. I don't think any of these conferences are going to exist in like 10 years.
Yeah,
dude.
It's getting out of control.
Well, they had the best coach in the Big 12, according to On3. This On3 outlet, you see it more and more. It's gaining steam. It's like they've been doing a good job. And they're a relatively new outlet here in the past couple years. They have the number one coach in the Big 12 is a coach who hasn't coached a game in the Big 12. And that's Kyle Whittingham at Utah.
Yeah, I mean,
Utah could step in there and win right away.
He's a good coach, man.
Got a great program. Coach.
Great program. He wins every year. All right. He doesn't get all these five-star athletes, but, man, they're tough.
Yeah.
They're tough every single year. They either got these big Samoans, like, you know, a solid quarterback, a decent running back, and a really good defense usually. That's usually how it goes over there at Utah. So I'm not surprised.
Yeah, me either. He got listed number one. Lance Leipold at Kansas was number two. Mike Gundy, Oklahoma State, was number three.
Kansas, man. Kansas had just kind of, they've been doing well for a couple years, and now, like, they're the top dog, they're saying. The coach is the top dog.
Dude, he is considered like a miracle worker, this Lance Leipold, because he built a dynasty at Wisconsin Whitewater.
Mm.
Is that where Quinn Miners played? I think he's Wisconsin Whitewater. And that's what this is. This is Wisconsin Whitewater.
Yep.
Okay, so I believe Quinn Miners may have played for Lance Leipold. He won 6 national championships. Then he went to Buffalo, and he won that division multiple times. And then he went to Kansas, who was like 0-9 in 2020, 9-60 over the previous 6 years. And in year number one, he beat Texas. In year number two, he had him in a bowl game.
Yeah, he's good.
Really good, really good. Mike Gundy.
Quinn Mariners, I think, was that. Yep.
Was it Wisconsin Whitewater?
Yep.
Okay, yep. All right. Mike Gundy from Oklahoma State.
Guy you didn't want to pay.
What's that?
Say, guy you didn't want to pay.
I don't want to pay him $100 million. No, I don't. I don't. Yeah, I don't. I don't want to pay the right guys. He's great, and he's going to go get his money. I just don't want to pay
a
right guard.
Pay a left tackle
50.
All that much money when he's going to be not the backside anymore because Michael Penix Jr. is coming in the building.
That's a huge assumption right there. That's a huge assumption that Michael Penix Jr. We can talk about it.
I'm just saying, you're hating on my man for making his money.
Hating who?
You don't want to give him $100 million, man.
No, I don't want to give a right guard $100 million. Nah, you can put me in that camp.
We gave Russell all that money.
Yes, they did.
At least Quinn is a little bit more durable, a little bit more consistent.
Quinn has been great. It's nothing to do with Quinn. He plays right guard.
Oh, it's just not him.
It's not. It's guards and running backs.
Oh, yeah.
They're cattle.
We know.
Where's my cattle prod?
We know you don't like the running backs.
The coach at Kansas State, Chris Klieman, was number four in this ranking. Gus Malzahn at Central Florida was number five. You got to get down. Deion was ranked number 12. By On3, this national outlet ranking the coaches in the Big 12. 12 out of 16.
Big 12 or 12, huh?
Fair? Unfair?
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah, you know what? Looking at his body of work in the Power 5 was his first year. Okay, he won 4 games, you know? He won 4 games.
he let one slip with the Stanford game, an embarrassing game right there.
That one's still stuck in my craw.
You know, so, yeah, I think you don't like where you're at. Nobody's just going to give it to you because of how you talk, right? Slick talking or who you're bringing in the building or how much money you gave the University of Colorado. This is between everybody.
Right.
As a coaching staff, as coaches, what have you done? The body of work put out there. Now, of course, I want to put my man, Coach Prime, at one or two, but got to go out there and show it. Win 10 games this year.
Yeah.
Right? Win 11 games, and now all of a sudden, everybody's respecting you. Everybody has no choice but to put you up there.
Oh, my gosh. If they did that, if CU is winning 10 games this year,
yeah,
it's going to be the biggest story. It will be arguably the biggest story in college sports.
He'll have another book.
He'll have another book. Yeah.
Elevate, dominate. Execute. He's going to start making his own words up.
Elevate and dominate. Part two. The sequel. Yeah, man. We'll see. He's got to win to earn everyone's respect. And right now, Deion nationally is still a topic that kind of divides a room. You know, it kind of divides the room. He's got to go out there and do it.
Do you think this is fit for him?
Yeah.
Like a fair.
Yeah.
Number 12.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and after the first five or six, it's kind of opinion based. You know. But yeah, if you're coming from a conference where you finished dead last, so you know you're 12 out of 16. That's what it is. You got to go out there and win football games. If you're a great coach. And you've now reshaped the roster again and reshaped the coaching staff again, and you have potentially the number one pick who plays the most important position on the field.
Yep.
You got to go out and win some games. So we'll see what it looks like this year. All right, the Avs are back in action tonight. What's at stake for the team, but also the guy between the pipes? What is on the line for him tonight? That's coming up next.